You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we always appreciate the opportunity to connect on a every other Wednesday basis with Leith Anderson. Leith is a NAE president of the National Association of Evangelicals, was senior pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota for 35 years before retiring, and teaches in seminaries and speaks and writes, and we're always honored to talk faith and culture with him. Ted and I were just interested in getting some of your thoughts, because I know on your recent podcast you talk about prayer with Daniel Henderson, and one of the topics is the importance of praying together. And I'm wondering, say a bit more about that as we get started. Why is prayer as a group important?
Yeah, most praying is private. I don't know what the percentages are, but that's got to be 90-some percent is private. I mean, personally, I pray through the day. I thank God for each meal, but I actually pray for the people in ambulances, and I hear fire truck sirens, and I think a lot of people do that. But the Bible teaches us there's a special importance to corporate prayer, where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name. It's just a special presence of God. So on the practical side, I think we learn, we grow when we pray with others. We get beyond praying just about ourselves, because so many of my prayers are just about me and my family and my needs. And then I think we also, to be theological about this, we're following the example of Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, where he said, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." You know, it's not my Father. So that's the biblical example, and it's also the personal benefit that we pray together.
We just talked about marriage here on this program with Dave and Claudia Arp as well. Can you just say a word too, Leith, about the importance of praying regularly with your spouse? What do you and your wife do?
Well, Charlene and I have known each other all of our lives, and, you know, we started dating the month that I turned 15, so we prayed together. I wish I'd kept a clicker account on all those months. But, you know, we take turns praying. We pray each morning together, usually at the breakfast table, and it is about what's going on in our world, but it's mostly family things and it's personal things, and there's just a special bond that comes when you pray together, and that's certainly true in marriage as well.
You know, there's a Pray Together Sunday coming up, and I know that's an important event that we've been just talking about as we go along here. But say more about this gathering and what you hope will be the outcome of this.
Well, it was last year that the National Association of Evangelicals initiated Pray Together Sunday, and it was great. We had a marvelous response. It's really pretty simple. It's a call for churches across America to set aside a time, everybody on the same weekend, the same Sunday, to just pray for our nation. And this year, it's on July 9th, and churches can sign up. They can get free bulletin inserts and other information at nae.net. And we also have whole denominations that are joining in. So just in the last few days, I've seen promotions that are going out from Converge, from the Assemblies of God, and there are a whole lot more. So, you know, I would tell everybody and encourage your church to sign up, join in at nae.net.
Pray Together Sunday coming up July 9th. Find out more, nae.net. We talked not too long ago with Frank Viola about the book that he wrote with Len Sweet called Jesus Speaks, Learning to Recognize and Respond to the Lord's Voice, and think, well, when we pray, we want to be listening to God's voice. But there's so many voices out there that are vying for and maybe sometimes shouting for our attention. Do you have some disciplines or habits that you practice to be better receptive to listening to God's voice?
My daily disciplines include a written prayer list, which I check off every day, Bible reading, and I write in a journal. And I also, I like to listen to stories of fellow Christians. I'm challenged and blessed by God's voice in their lives. But, honestly, Neil, hearing the voice of God is neither simple nor automatic for me, and I assume for most people. There are many times when I seek God's voice and I don't hear a thing, and there are other times when God speaks and influences me, and I really wasn't asking, I wasn't expecting. So I think the point here is that God is God, and he's the one that calls the shots, and not me. So I'm God's servant, it's never the other way around. I kind of like the prayer of Samuel in the Old Testament where he says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," that we should always be listening for God. And we also need to remember that God has already said a lot to us in the Bible, and that we should begin with the words he's already spoken before we expect to hear something new, but we're always listening for something new.
Good word. We're talking with Leif Anderson again, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Leif, the other day my daughter walked into the room right as the nightly news was starting, and in that first minute or two, there's all the headlines and the fear, and oh, we have to listen to this story. And I just said to her, you know, it's kind of fear-based open there, isn't it, don't you think, to help open her eyes to that? And there's a lot of voices that are just vying for our attention, as Neil said earlier. But how can we be aware of these top important news stories that we need to be praying about, but not falling into the depression that can come with that sometimes? Other issues of importance globally that aren't really getting the top billing on the news feeds that we should be aware of?
The nature of the news industry, especially with 24-hour news now, is that, the old expression was, if it bleeds, it leads. Mm-hmm. And often the lead stories are painful. They're traumatic. And not that we shouldn't hear them and that they're not important, but they tend to be the loudest noises, and they drown out other things. And absolutely, when there are terror attacks, they are tragic, they are awful, they are horrific. Many of them that lead the news are the tragic deaths of a dozen people, sometimes 80 people. But we need to remember that there's a famine that's rising in Africa, in Nigeria, but especially in Eastern Africa, that may cost the lives of millions of people. And often we're just not aware of that type of thing. So my advice is that we need to care about others, not just ourselves, not just our own nation, not just people that are like us. We remember that God's love is for the whole world, and that's why he sent his only son. And then we need to adopt personal disciplines. We need to keep up on other people in other places, just force ourselves to do that and to pray. And I think also to say, what can I do? I realize none of us are going to meet the needs of a million people on the brink of starvation, but there are things that we can do. We can contribute. We can encourage our government to engage. And what is our part in maybe the lesser stories in terms of the agenda, but maybe the more important stories in terms of the need?
You know, one of the stories that we're following came out, I guess, the last week or so about the young lady who leaked some classified NSA documents as her effort to resist, as she said. And, you know, that just bothers me a bit, I think, that we sort of take these things, I guess, maybe casually now. Are there some guidelines when we want to maybe resist what's going on in government or, organizations, things that we don't feel are right? But what comes to mind for you?
There's a sadness when we take things casually that are really important, but there's only so much that you can take. And when there's such a fire hose torrent of information like this, there's just a natural resistance to it. The good news is that in America, we have ways to disagree and resist, including resisting our government. And number one is how we vote in elections. But we can also write letters to news outlets. We can call political representatives. We can participate in lawsuits and more. And most people in history, most people around the world today don't have those options. But in terms of the scripture, I read the Bible as tilting towards supporting government authority and using the legal means that are available. That's what the Apostle Paul did when he felt he was unfairly convicted. He appealed to Caesar as a Roman citizen. Sometimes there are extreme and exceptional circumstances that call for extreme and exceptional action. And that was the decision of Dietrich Bonhoeffer against Hitler during World War II. And he was unsuccessful in what he did, and he was executed. But the best advice is still to use all available legal means first and save anything beyond for the most extraordinary situations. I don't even like to think of an example of what that might be, because I kind of hope that won't happen. And it's maintaining that biblical balance within the context of the news that we hear every day.
You know, a lot of what we hear in the news, of course, has come into question of late. You know, is it fake news, real news? Dealing with a situation where my mother believes something that's simply not true. But it makes me wonder, how do we have conversations with people whose beliefs, maybe believing something that aren't true, and maybe they don't even consider truth as, you know, it's just your opinion?
Yeah, well, there's lots of opportunity for that, because people have really strong opinions. And The reality is that many people just make up their minds and then interpret whatever facts, no matter how obvious they may be, to fit their conclusions and their convictions. I do believe that we should listen, we should respect, and we should then explain our understanding of the truth. Well, one of the best ways to do it is often to tell a story, because people can identify in stories. But there's some people that just, they're not going to be persuaded. I had a nurse who once told me, you can't have a rational conversation with an irrational person. And it just doesn't work. But we need to remember that we're all influenced by the words of those around us. I'll just give you a quick example. Living in Minnesota in 1984, I thought Ronald Reagan would lose the presidential election. He won by a historic landslide. So I wonder, why did I think that? Why was my interpretation so different? And the answer was that I live in Minnesota, and Ronald Reagan carried 49 states. He just didn't carry Minnesota. So I was disproportionately influenced by those who were around me, and I was comparatively ignorant of what was going on in 49 other states. So, you know, there are lessons from this. We need to hear what others are saying outside of our own limited circle, but we also need to speak into the circle the truth that we know. And that will influence the circle in Minnesota and anywhere else. And that's what Jesus did. He spoke truth to Pharisees and to Sadducees, to Romans, Samaritans, all those in his own generation. And he accepted the fact that some believed and others refused to believe.
Influence the circle. I like that. Leith, thank you so much for your time today. It's always good to talk to you. Appreciate it.
Always good to talk to you. Blessings on you, Ted. And you.
All right. And check out Pray Together Sunday. Information available online at nae.net.